tonight we are going to have some fun. Okay, well, tonight I am going to have some fun. I'm going to laugh. I'll guarantee you this. At you. No, at this. Tonight, we are going to learn two new words. Now, these words cannot be found in the Bible. However, we'll just leave it at that. These words cannot be found in the Bible, and yes, you are allowed to pronounce them in church. So, if you have a pen and paper, we are going to learn these new words. So, class, are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I will spell the first one for you. Here it is. C-R-A-P-U-L-E-N-C-E. Crapulence. Crapulence. That is our first word for the evening. Now, you may be wondering, what does that word mean? I will tell you. The word crapulence, it is a word, and it is illness due to overeating or drinking too much. Seriously, that's what it is. Illness due to overeating or drinking too much. Now, to use that word in a sentence, patrons who eat as much as possible at a buffet to justify the cost will sometimes experience great crapulence. This is true now. Have you ever been around somebody after eating a great big meal and they say something like, I feel like crap? Okay. Now somebody's, he's cussing up there in the pulpit. No, I'm not. That's where the word comes from. Now, you might be thinking, oh, so that's why they call the toilet the crapper. No. The toilet is called the crapper because it was invented by a man named John Crapper. That's a true story. And so these two words are not directly connected, but over the years, people have made a connection. For example, when somebody... when you have crapulence, that means you have eaten too much and you feel lousy. Well, in a few hours, what's going to happen? The body will begin, well, it will complete its designed function. And you will, many people say, well, you know, I got to go take a crap. Now, this word, crapulence, it was never intended to make a reference to bathroom activities. But over the years, people have shortened it, I feel like crap, all right? And so what we do in our minds, we associate I feel like crap with I feel like, you know, bathroom stuff. Okay, feeling like crapulence. I've eaten too much. That's what that word means. And I've eaten so much, I feel lousy. Are you ready for word number two? Oh, yeah. Here we go. Word number two. I will spell word number two. S-M-E-L-L-F-U-N-G-U-S. Smell fungus. That is a legitimate word, smell fungus. I'm not making this up. It is a word. Now, Here's the definition of smell fungus. One who is a habitual fault finder or complainer. It's true. It's true. The word smell fungus means one who is a habitual fault finder or complainer. Now, if I were to use our two new words in the same sentence, it might go something like this. Spending too much time around a smell fungus may give one great crapulence. You ever been around somebody who complains and complains and complains and just won't shut up? Don't you feel like you have been overloaded? Yeah. And the plural of smell fungus is smell fungi. So if you're with a group of complainers, you are in the midst of smell fungi. Now, this is true. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. You see, God never meant for us to experience crapulence. Meaning, he never, there's a word in the Bible, gluttony. All right? Gluttony in the natural leads to crapulence. However, a gluttony of complaining can lead to inner crapulence. You understand what I mean by that? Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, let's pick this up in verse 6. Now, these things were our example to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, neither be ye idolaters as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of the serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now, all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Notice verse 10. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. This word murmur, it comes from an interesting Greek word, gaguzo. Gaguzo, which is not at all related to crapulence, but it is related to smell fungus. Because gaguzo means to grumble, complain, or murmur. So basically, gaguzo is the Greek word for smell fungus or murmur. So then, knowing this, we could say in verse 10, neither should you be a smell fungus, as some of them were a smell fungus and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now, we could use that word in there, and it would be correct. It's describing the same thing. So my question to you is, are you a smell fungus? Now, think about this. Are you a complainer? Are you a grumbler? Are you a murmurer? Now, I'm not going to point fingers, but I will say this. There are some people who call this their home church. They need to work on that because you fit this description. You are leaning more in the direction of a smell fungus than what you'd like to think. You say, well, how do you know that? Just listen to what people say. When they come up to me and they start talking to me about stuff, the things that have happened to them, what's going on in life, all the battles they fight, sick this, hurt that, how they treated me, how they talked to me, how they were mean to me, mana, 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 yamma, 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 on and on it goes. I really don't want to hear all of that crapulence. That's a misuse of that word, but I think you get the idea. There are too many Christians who feel justified in complaining. They feel as though this is the thing that's going to make it all better, and it's not. And to kind of like jump ahead here, when you complain, what you're actually saying is, I'm born again and I'm trusting God with my eternal salvation. But when it comes to day-to-day life, I really don't trust Him. Because, see, if you really trusted Him and really believed His word, you would not be a smell fungus. You wouldn't be a murmurer. You wouldn't be a complainer. You wouldn't. You flat out would not. Now see, we're all going to go through problems. We're all going to face issues. Every one of us in life, somebody's going to do us wrong. What was that song Neil Diamond sang? It's another somebody done somebody wrong. Or no, who was B.J. Thomas or somebody like that? It, you know, another somebody done somebody wrong song. It's like, oh, I don't know. You know? Hey, we could all sing that, right? Every one of us. Because in our life, as Christians, somebody's done us wrong. And a lot of those people that have done us wrong are other Christians. And so therefore, too many Christians feel like it's okay just to go on and on about what's happened, about what they're facing, about what they've gone through. Some people are complaining about things that happened, you know, 2, 3, 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago, whatever. Now, I can tell you for a fact, based on what I know about God from His Word, He doesn't want to hear it. Do you hear what I'm saying? He doesn't want to hear it. Well, how do you figure that? He doesn't like it. Well, yeah, but He's God. Okay, now wait a minute. What did we just read down here? Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Their smell fungusing led them to the point of being destroyed. Now let me put it in you know, like terms we can relate to. God said, you know what? I'm sick and tired of your belly aching. Go get them, destroyer. That's it. They don't trust me. They don't believe me. I bring them out of Egypt. I give them manna. I give them water from a rock. I destroy their enemies. Everybody that came out of Egypt, they were rich with the wealth of Egypt, not one feeble person among them, and they still don't trust me, and day after day after day, just yammer, yammer, yammer. So you know what? I don't want to hear any more of it, and you're becoming an infection to the rest of the nation of Israel. So just die. Just go ahead and die. See, we don't take it that seriously. All of our bellyaching and complaining, we don't take it that seriously, but evidently God does. And that was with people who were lost. What about us? Born again, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. I mean, we have everything. We have far much more than what they had in the Old Testament. How can we justify complaining? See, when we really trust God, when you really trust Him, you're not going to complain. Now, you will acknowledge that there are things you don't like. Well, the Apostle Paul did that. He acknowledged there were things going on that he didn't like. But he didn't bellyache and complain. However, he gave an example of how he started to murmur. Remember that? He said, well, you know, because of all these revelations, because I'm serving God, because God has called me up to the third heaven, because I've heard incredible truth and I'm delivering this truth, Satan sent a messenger, his personal messenger, to try and stop me. It was horrible what I went through. And I went to God. 3 times I went to God. Please get this thing off me. Please get this thing. And every time I did, God said, my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. Finally, it clicked. Hey, God's grace is sufficient. And then he says, you know what? When that finally got through to me, my whole attitude changed. And now Man, I'm going to glory in the infirmities because when I'm weak, he is strong. His strength will rise up in me, and this stuff, even though I don't like it, you know what? I'm going to make it. And even if the circumstances don't change, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. You see this? And I find it so amazing that Paul put that in there because you talk about somebody who just opened up his life to the world. It's almost like he's saying, let me tell you about the time I started complaining and then finally God got it across to me. You know what happened when Moses began complaining? God got really, really angry. And you don't think God gets upset with us when we fuss and complain? See, it's so interesting how Christians will talk about, oh, I love God and I love Jesus, you know, love him with all my heart, and boy, I just really trust the Lord, living by faith, and on it goes, and then complain about stuff. Bring up the things from the past, what people have done. They were mean to me. You know, they treated me wrong. And something needs to be done. Well, it's already been done. Do you not understand that the chastisement of our peace was laid upon Jesus, and with his stripes we were healed? See this? Well, see, when Christians are complainers, they either don't believe it or they don't know about it. And the truth is, most just don't believe it. Because you don't even have to read that verse of what Jesus did for us. All you have to do is go through and just read in the New Testament what he's done for us. You don't have to go back and read the prophecies. Read the New Testament. But if you read both the prophecies and everything in the Old Testament, and you read the New Testament, you get the sum total, the image, the picture. There's no reason to complain. Absolutely none. But you don't know what it's like to walk a mile in my shoes. I am so tired of hearing that. Until you start saying anything, you need to walk a mile in somebody else's shoes. I don't want to walk a mile in your shoes. You've got athlete's foot. I don't want my feet to get stinky. I don't need to walk a mile in your shoes. You know why? Because I know what the Word of God has to say. And your life may stink. Maybe you've been abused. Maybe you've been done wrong. People lied about you. Maybe your body is battling all kinds of sickness and illness. Maybe you got money problems. Maybe, I don't know. But I do know this. The Word of God is the answer. I know this. The completed work of Jesus Christ is the answer. And see, we can talk about how much we love God, trust God, believe Him, trust His Word, know His by the Word. The Bible means so much to me and all this. But then, when we turn around and start fussing and complaining and become a smell fungus, you know, isn't that weird? I mean, the word itself is really weird. I mean, who in the world? Anyway, why say you trust God and then turn around and complain about anything? You know, I've had people come to me and talk about whatever, and they start getting over into the complaining and the murmuring. And here's what's really interesting. Some Christians are so adept at it and so accustomed to doing it, it's just a part of their life. And if you say something about it, they will deny they are complaining because that has become the way they live. You know, things are going to stink in life. Sooner or later, you're going to go through a rough time. That's just the way it is. We all face battles. Jesus did. The apostles did. You're going to. That's just the way it goes. But the answer is found in the Word of God. And when you come to the place of truly trusting God's Word and His promises, you will not complain. And you won't share prayer requests that are actually complaints. Oh, just pray for me. I mean, they did me wrong, but just pray for me that God will smash them flat. No, I won't do that. Pray, just pray that God will make them come and apologize. I'm not doing that. You're walking in unforgiveness. Because the love of God and His forgiveness does not demand an apology. That's the way it is. So don't, I mean, seriously, you know, don't fuss at me about this, because I know what the Word of God says. And the problem is, most Christians who complain, they know what the Word of God says too, but they really don't believe it. They say they do, but they really don't. And it's a trust issue. I'm going to read some verses to you. Listen to this. James 1:17. Every good and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Every good and perfect gift. Where it talks about there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning, part of what that means is he doesn't change his mind from day to day. He's constant. Every good and perfect gift. Well, if you know that God is going to give you good and perfect gifts, why complain? Why? Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Do you believe that? Well, then why would you complain about not having enough? Let me share something with you before I read any more of these verses. Complaining, murmuring, builds a wall between you and his word manifesting in your life. You're the reason. You're complaining. You're the reason that a lot of his promises aren't manifesting. Because, see, you don't, if you believe him, you don't complain about what's going on. You are going to say, well, you know what? This sure does stink right about now. I mean, I don't like this at all. However, God said. However, God promised. You know, I don't like it that we're going through such a difficult time right now. I just don't like that. But you know what? God said he'll supply. So, you know what? Whether it's today, tomorrow, next week, God, I'm standing on your word. You're going to supply. You will. I'm not complaining. Well, listen to this one. 1 Peter 2:24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. This is a biggie in the body of Christ. See, it's one thing if you're raised in a church, nobody believes in healing. But when you're in a we do believe in healing situation, church, and you fuss and complain and fuss and complain about, you know, sick and pain and broken and upset and all this, I mean, you know, body stuff here and body stuff. When all you do is fuss and complain about, you know what you're telling me? You're telling me you really don't believe that by Jesus' stripes you were healed. You know, I had to learn these things myself. And now, you know, there are times when I've gone through physical whatevers, and, you know, I'm fighting this battle, you know, Jesus and healed and praise you, Lord, and all that. And then, you know, Kathy finds out about it, and she gets mad at me. Why didn't you say something to me about it? Well, I'm not a complainer. You know, I'm believing God for my healing. And I'll go to a doctor. I don't have a problem going to a doctor. You shouldn't either. Come on. But by Jesus' stripes, I was healed. So I'm not going to complain about my physical battles. Look, guys, we don't have glorified bodies yet. Did you figure that out? I know it looks like I do, but we don't have glorified bodies yet. What that means is these bodies are still Genesis 3 bodies, and the older we get, they're going to break down. Okay, that's the Word of God. You're not going to, all the faith in the world, you're not going to stop the aging process. It's not going to happen. But you can fight sickness and injury, and you understand what I mean. You can still do that and believe God for healing to manifest. Listen to this. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Christians that fuss and complain about, I just don't know what to do. I just don't know what to do. Oh, just please pray for me that I know what to do. I just don't know it. You know what? You don't believe God. You're not trusting him. He says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to your own understanding. When you're fussing and complaining about not knowing what to do, you're leaning to your own understanding, because you're depending upon what you can figure out as far as the answer, the solution, the what to do. And he says, look, don't do that. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. He'll let you know what to do. Listen to this, Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7. Be careful, be upset, be worried, be frustrated, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So, complainers, you know what they're doing? They're being careful for everything. They're holding on to it. They're not really trusting God. And that's why they don't have this peace that passes all understanding. It isn't that God said it's unavailable. He's saying, look, you know, don't worry about this stuff. Just don't do it. Don't. You know, just come to me and pray about these things. And let me minister my peace to you. Well, if you really trust him, you will, and you'll have that peace. See, it's one thing when you're dealing with somebody maybe that's young in the Lord. But when you deal with Christians that have been around for a long time, and they bless God know better, they can quote these scriptures to you. And they still fuss and complain, my patience for that grows thin very quickly. Because you should know better, and you're putting on a front. You really aren't as far along in this as you think you are. You know what's really bad, though? How many churches there are that train Christians that they are further along in God than what they really are. And then these Christians don't understand why things happen the way they happen. It's like, well, for one thing, you've been in the wrong church. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Brother Martin, just pray for me. I just feel so confused. Just so confused. Well, he's not giving you a spirit of fear. He's giving you a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Well, I know, Brother Martin, but there are no buts in the kingdom. Take that however you want it. But there may be a smell fungus here and there, but look. You see what I'm getting at as far as the answer is in the Word? For everything. For every single thing. Listen to this. Psalm 55, verse 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. That goes along with, you know, cast all your care upon him because he cares for you. Cast your burden upon the Lord. Oh, Brother Martin, would you please just pray for me? I just feel so burdened down by all the stuff that's going on. Well, what do you want me to do? Well, just pray for me. Well, how do you want me to pray? However the Lord leads you. I've heard that one before. Okay. Father, slap him upside of the head. Just short of the destroyer thing, okay? Not really, I don't need to pray for you other than, Father, I pray that they would finally get a grip on what you promised in your word and accept it as truth for their life and stop bellyaching and complaining. That's not the kind of prayer people want to hear in a prayer line. But when he says, cast your burden upon the Lord, that means cast the care of it, cast the worry of it over, cast it over onto him. Again, all these things I'm going through here with you, you know, these are things I've had to learn. And I've learned I have no reason to complain. Now, I'll goof around at home and act like I'm fussing and complaining. You know, okay, you see all this gray hair, right? And I'm getting up there in years, okay? I waved goodbye to 60 here a while back. So now that I'm getting older, I'm having a lot of fun acting like a grumpy old man. Now, I'm not a grumpy old man, but I enjoy going around the house acting like one, and it really irritates Kathy, and that makes it even more fun, praise God. So I know what she's going to do from now on. She's going to just hush up, you old smell fungus. Listen to this, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. That means whatever the problem is, you know what? I can go through it. I can do it. Because His strength will strengthen me to make it through. Listen to these two verses. Psalm 94:14 and Psalm 20. Well, first I'll read 94:14. For the Lord will not cast off His people, neither will He forsake His inheritance. Psalm 27:10. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Remember that somebody done me wrong song thing a little bit ago? Okay. When other people have cast you off, when other people have done you wrong, when other people have turned their backs on you, when other people are forsaking you, God is there for you. See, too many Christians, they base their concept of self-sufficiency on the opinion of other people. I want to be accepted by other people. I want to be approved by other people. I want you to like me. I want you to be my friend. I want you. In other words, I'm seeking my concept of confidence in what I get from other people. That's stupid. It's foolish, and it's not going to work. You need to understand who you are in Christ and that God will never forsake you. And that even if your mother and father, meaning the people closest to you, do you wrong, cast you aside, want nothing more to do with you, God is still there. Your real father is still there. And your real brother is still there. You can't keep fussing about how they, whoever they are, did you wrong. When you know that the Creator of the universe has said, I am there for you always. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'm there. You know why? When Jesus was on the cross, remember this? He's hanging on the cross. He says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus paid the penalty of ultimate forsakenness so that we could live and never be forsaken. So God is there for you constantly. You have no reason to complain about anything anybody has done to you. It doesn't matter who they are. Well, you don't know what I... Hold, there you go again. You're right, I don't. But I do know this. God is there for you. He's there. Isaiah 40:31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. The key on this, on that one, they that wait upon the Lord. God has said, you know what? Quit running to and fro. Quit fussing and complaining. Sit down. If it were our children, we would give them a time out. So God is saying, give yourself a time out, okay? Just stop. Sit down and think on me. Think about these promises and wait on me. I will bring renewal on the inside of you. I will renew your strength. I will fix it on the inside. Now, He's not going to be able to change the will of other people. And there are a lot of things that we go through that are problematic where the will of other people are, it is involved, okay? Well, he can't. There are a lot of things, you know, God can do anything. Well, He's not going to change the will of other people. If they're bound and determined to do you wrong, well, that's just the way it goes. But He can fix it. I don't know how. But He says, wait on me. Wait on me. A lot of Christians who have come running to me for prayer, please pray about this, about that, about the other thing they said. They come running to me for prayer. You know what? They haven't waited on God. They haven't waited for His renewal. And He says, wait on me, and I'll bring that renewal to you. I will renew your strength. I will refresh you on the inside. Now, these verses that I've read to you, I don't know how many I read, maybe 10 or something like that. This is just a sampling of what God has said in His Word. Just a drop in the bucket, as they say. There's so much more. But with the ones that I have read to you, well, when you believe these, why would you complain about anything? When you believe just the ones I've read, why would you complain ever about anything? We have no reason to complain. None whatsoever. We are a child of Almighty God. We have no reason to complain. You know, if anybody had a genuine reason to complain, it would have been Jesus. Father, I came down here for this. And it almost sounds like He is complaining at times, you know, oh, faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? Guys, there's no need to be a smell fungus. And in the process of all of your smell fungery, fill somebody else's life with emotional crapulence. There's no reason for it. Don't be a smell fungus. Be a rejoicer in the Lord. Let the peace of God be your comfort. Trust in His Word. Fully trust. Do you know in Scripture, I don't remember where this is, but He said something about put me in remembrance of my Word. Do you know why He said that? It wasn't because He's forgotten. It's like, you know, I gave you a whole lot of Scripture down there, and some just, boy, just kind of slips my mind there. Could you tell me what I said? Well, God, according to you said. Now, the reason He does that is to get us to get into His Word and discover His promises. Put me in remembrance of my Word. And He's thinking, you can't do that unless you get into my Word and find out what I said. And when you get into my Word and find out what I've said, maybe you'll trust me a little bit more. Praise God. One of the worst, absolute worst testimonies any Christian can live before others is that of a smell fungus. A complainer. Complain one minute and then tell somebody how great God is the next. Like they're going to believe that one. No. We have everything to rejoice over and really nothing to complain about. Praise the Lord. We are children of Almighty God. Hallelujah. Please stand. Bless your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, I don't know who in the world came up with these words, but they sure are interesting and they're humorous. And in that humor, Father, they just kind of made a point tonight. We have no reason to complain. None whatsoever.